One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
What's up, everybody? Ryan Sickler here, and I just wanted to let you know that tickets to my fall dates of the Live and Alive tour are on sale now. Go to ryansickler.com, get your tickets to all shows. I'm coming to Austin, Dallas, La Jolla, Salt Lake City, Denver, Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, Madison, Portland, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and Tempe. Tickets for all shows are available right now on my website at ryansickler.com.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. And I'm going to start this episode like I start them all by saying thank you very much. Whatever I do that you support, I don't care what it is, thank you very much. Please subscribe to this channel. It's a free way to help the show. And come see me on tour. If I am in your town when you're around, tickets are available at ryansickler.com. I'll be out there all fall. And if you got to have more, listen to me. You got to have the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. It is this show with y'all. You know what it is. You hear me talk about it every week. And every week I say we're going to hear some shit we had never heard before. And you know what? Every week we do. Every week we do. Just talked to a dude in the hospital the other day who just had his hand taken. Just in the hospital, he's calling us, zooming us. Still got the phantom feeling. Hands gone. Gone. It's wild. It's $5 a month. I've never raised it. It's hundreds of hours of stories. And you get the Honeydew a day early. You get it ad-free at no additional cost. All right? That's the biz. You know what we do here. We highlight the lowlights. And I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. And I am very excited to have this guest on today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sean Jordan. Welcome to the Honeydew, Sean Jordan.
Thanks for having me, Playboy. This is rules. I'm stoked.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, man.
We've been talking quite a bit, of course, and catching up. But before we get into whatever we're going to talk about here, please promote everything that you would like.
Well, thank you, my friend. I filmed a special called Girl Dad, a stand-up special. That right now is on Patreon, but the album just came out on Mother's Day. So if you want to listen to it, it's all about the birthing process. We went through IVF, and then I got a vasectomy also in there. The whole process started. My wife had a miscarriage. So it's extremely personal, and it's like the most I've ever cared about my stand-up. You know what I mean? Like the most effort I've ever put into it.
Can I ask you a personal question about it?
You sure can.
How long into... So were you only pregnant twice?
Yeah, immediately.
How long into the first pregnancy did you miscarry?
Like a week and a half, maybe. She found, because she was just checking and found it like days. You know, the pregnancy test came back and we went in and got an ultrasound and they're like, technically, I think you are pregnant, but we barely see it. And then we went in and the next time, because they confirmed it, but then the next time we went in and they were just like, no heartbeat, which is, it is such a gnarly feeling because you're just there and you can't do anything about that. You can't talk your way out of it. You can't buy your, you're just like, damn, I don't know. It's insane to watch that happen to a woman. Anyway.
I have questions about it. Can I ask?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So I know the body just then does its thing, mm-hmm. but was that a I don't want to be insensitive. Was that
you don't have to be insensitive.
Meaning, like, when the first time you got pregnant, was that before IVF, or was this also IVF?
No, it was is before IVF, and this is what prompted
I was going to say normal, and I didn't want to say normal because you know.
I feel you. No, trust me, I was doing stand up with it. The verbiage.
Sorry, I sometimes with this show I stumble on what to say to people at their worst times. I hear apologize, you.
Bro. It's all good. That happened. It happened immediately, and that was the crazy part because we got pregnant the first try. And then, you know, there's the miscarriage and we're older. Yeah, I'm 40 at the time. My wife is 42 at the time, which is past, they say, for, you know, so.
Dude, but I learned that we were, what is it called?
Geriatric.
Pregnancy.
What a disgusting word.
Right? They said, you're a geriatric pregnancy. I was like, we're what now?
Why can't we just change that word? We made that one up.
But I feel like it's like after 28. Like, it's really like, that's when your numbers start to drop. You're like, wait, what? Geriatric pregnancy.
So we were, I got to tell you this. We were sitting right at, so right during the miscarriage, we had to go in and have a procedure because they needed to get some stuff out. And I was supposed to go to Tampa like 3 days later. I was supposed to go do some shows in Tampa. My wife's laying on the bed and she's like, you can still go to Tampa. And I go, no, I can't. I can't. Her dad's a 3-star general. And I'm like, I ain't going to hit up the general. Be like, I'm going to go cut loose in Tampa for a few days if you could like. But yeah, it was just that thing where you go through it, you process it. And it's much more common than I knew. It's like 1 in 5 women, I think, before the first take, they miscarry.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I get it. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's like, that was something. And I asked her permission, obviously, if I could bring it up, but I was like, I want to touch on this because people feel, I think, super alone in that process as you would. And the same thing with like IVF and all that stuff. Like it's a tough, like mental thing to go through, you know? So that's why it's so fun to talk. That's why I had such a good time creating the hour, I guess, because it felt like informative.
Releasing that, yeah.
Yeah. Cathartic. And like, you know, we got a daughter. We got her. Yeah. She's there. Our little miracle.
So did you, I know from personal friends, they've tried to conceive naturally or whatever, and then they just keep miscarrying. And then they go to IVF. Did you just one miscarriage and then right to IVF?
Right to IVF. And trust me.
Is that because the doctors told you, hey, you have a better chance this way? Or carrying the full term, or
I think it's because my wife is so extremely logical and smart that she was like, we had a couple bucks, so that's another thing. Because I was like,
yeah, because that's the
bro. I've known every dollar I have my whole life. You know what I mean? I've never had enough money where I'm like, I don't even. Who cares? You know. So it is a pricey procedure to say the least. So that as soon as we realized that was going to work, then it was like, well, yeah, let's not roll the dice again if we have the means to do it this way. Let's
and again, I know I'm asking very personal questions. That's and what, I'm sorry, Mrs. Jordan. why did IVF work? What was it about IVF that her body was able to take the full term that just naturally?
So what they do is they go through and they just give you the best chance. So they find all of the eggs that are going to work. They go in and they
see, okay.
Because they check all that stuff. That's what you're paying that premium price tag
so
for.
So you're getting the Michael Jordan today.
Playboy.
Eggs, I see.
They're pulling out the Steph Currys.
Yeah.
Because they do, because they're like, all right, so they give so many things they go through. And then at the end, you end up with X amount of viable fertilized embryos. We ended up with 2. So it started at like 30 because they take out all the eggs, they harvest them, they see which ones are going to work. The process is bananas. And I only went to 2 years of college, so I still fudged the details. But yeah, they just sift through them, whatever, and they find the ones that are going to work with fertilization. And then they give them all that genetic testing.
And out of the 30, two.
Two. Two and maybe a third. So they had one that was inconclusive. And then, yeah, two. That was, and then.
So then they put both eggs in, right?
Well, so they go, if you put both in, there's like an 80% success rate, but you're probably going to have twins. And I was like, nah, I don't.
That's what I was going to ask.
Nope.
Okay. So then how do you guys decide to pick the one you pick?
Rolled the dice. Because they were like, they go, do you want to know the sex? And I'm like, I don't want any
thing to do. Wait, they know right there on that?
Mm-hmm.
Do they? This so they is fucking told blowing us. My mind.
They could have
so
told
you
us.
Can know right there you're going to have, or you can even, if they say these you can two say, are like, identical, are they, you can say we want a daughter.
Yeah, but see, that's where I'm like, I'm already got the hand of God too much in there.
Yeah,
you know? So
I hear you.
As soon as we could back away from that, I was like, I don't want to have anything to do with choosing. Because if something goes wrong, I'd blame myself my whole life. Because I'm like, oh, I want to, why would I pick, you know? Like,
well, but you have to pick one of the two, though, right?
We just let them pick. So we were like, whatever, if there's a scale. Yeah, I was like, if you fuck this up,
yeah,
taking my 20 grand, getting out of here. Give me that.
Yeah.
We were just like, if one of them looks more viable than the other, go on and throw that.
51-49, take the 51.
Yeah, throw that one in the oven. We'll put the rest on the rocks. And now we still got one sitting on ice.
Okay, that's my next question. That one's still viable in there?
It is. And
how long will that last on
frozen? I think as long as we paid for another year, I think, recently. But we, you know, we're going to have that conversation because, what do we do with it? I don't know. We're not gonna do it. So I think right now we're just keeping it around because I feel insane to get rid of it, you know?
If you're definitely, I'm trying to.
Trust me, I've had some big knuckleheads talk to me about this.
If you're going to definitely say we're not going to do it,
mm-hmm.
will you ask what the sex was?
No, I never even thought about that. I don't know. I honestly
say, we're 100% we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
But before you do it, or even after it's already done, what was it? Like it was a boy.
And I'll just be like, all right, we're going to do it.
Right. Would you be?
I did. It's funny because like I didn't care. At all.
Me either. I actually really did want a girl. I grew up with brothers, cousins, like just good people, but just meatheads and boys. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. girls always appreciated hanging out with my girl cousins because they would have different points of view. They would be like, your brother this. And I'm like, oh, shit, you guys are over here scoping shit out and, you know,
right?
Through your own filter, not just our boy shit. So I always appreciated that. And my daughter definitely... I also felt like she would calm me down. You know, I knew I needed to take a step back and a deep breath, and she has definitely been that and humbles me. Like,
yeah.
Wait till you go out to do a show and your daughter looks at you and goes, you're going to wear that? And you're like, what's the matter with this?
Brother, it is the great equalizer. Because kids,
what's the matter with this?
They don't give a fuck. I remember, and I tell people this, like, she was screaming one night and I just took the baseball bat to the yard. I had to go outside and I was just like pounding in at like midnight like a psychopath. And it doesn't matter who you are. That's going to happen sometimes when you got a kid. It's, I don't know. It's fantastic. But yeah, I didn't care at all. I just wanted, once I landed on the idea that we were going to have kids, because I was kind of indifferent my whole life. And then at a certain point, you're like, well, yeah, I want to do it.
I got another question. This is okay. So this other egg,
mm-hmm.
right? Embryo, whatever is it? What is the actual term? Is it an embryo? We'll call it an egg.
Yeah,
I think it's
fertilized.
The egg.
Mm-hmm.
If they were going to be implanted at the same time, they'd be identical, or at least fraternal twins. They'd be twins.
Something.
So will this egg be a twin version? If it's of your, you know what I mean?
Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I have no idea. She'll be 3 in June.
So if you do this next year and she's 4, is this like a twin version of...
Where this little kid can just look at Maxine and be like, what's she up to?
But you know what I mean? A baby version of this twin that's already got a 5-year head start on it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't think the WNBA is ready for such a thing. Maxine, she's in the 100th percentile for height. So like she's super... I didn't know that was real. So what the doctor said, because I thought it was just something people say.
I've never understood it, man. These doctors would tell me the percentiles, and I'm like, yeah, I don't get that.
Well, what he said, he goes, if there were 1,000 kids, your daughter would be in the 4th tallest. So she'd be one of the 4 tallest kids. That's mm-hmm. how he equated it. But she's tall, man. It's another thing is people keep bringing that up. The first thing anyone says when they see her, they're like, God damn, she's tall. And I'm like, okay. So I'm going to have to realize that she's going to be hearing this her whole life, and I don't want her to get a complex about it. So it's just my head is trying to end this, like, she's got to be cool with
the
that.
The tall girl.
I want her to know it's okay.
And yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. And my wife asked, I'm like, yeah, we weren't the nicest to the tall girls in school, you know, if I'm being honest. And I know that is going to be a little rough patch. So
just teach her how to fucking verbally fight back.
Well, Shaxine, dude. Yeah. She's going to be fucking dunking on him. Shaxine. Break the glass.
Dude, I'm sorry. I just, this is.
It's interesting, bro.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, all this stuff. That's why it was so fun to do stand up about. Another thing they don't tell you is when you do IVF, when you're over 40, 7% success rate. Nobody told us that.
Ooh, seven?
Seven. And they keep that.
When they say 7% success rate, is that healthy baby?
Well, you don't. Just whatever.
Yeah.
There's another part of the process where they go through and they do these checks and there's one point where they ask you and they're like, if there is some sort of birth defect or something that we find, do you want to terminate or do you want to continue through? And they didn't find, there weren't any defects or anything with Maxine. But at a certain point, I was like, I don't even know what that choice would be like. Because who am I to say terminate? I don't know. It's tough to wrap your mind around. And thankfully, we didn't have to like face that choice. But people do. And, you know, I do not envy that position. This is wild, man. So, yeah, then you get the kid and you're just like, every day is gravy, you know, even when she's being a little shit. I'm like, I really wanted you. So this is all right.
Dude, I love it. I swear to you, like I was in, I just was saying this the other day. I was with my daughter at the mall just a couple weeks ago. And she's like, can we go in Sephora? I'm like, yeah, we can go in Sephora. So we go in Sephora and there's this like younger black girl and she's like, Ryan Sickler? And I look at her and she goes, of all places to meet you, I go, you know who I am? She goes, I was just listening to the Honeydew. I was like, thank you so much. And I go, yeah, well, she didn't see my daughter. You know what I mean? Right. So she thinks I'm just rolling through Sephora like a creep or something. I'm like, no, this is my daughter right here, and introduced her. And she's like, oh, yeah.
That's sick, man.
And, you know, I would have never had that experience with anyone. And it's always important to me, too, when I meet a fan who's younger. Mm-hmm. That to me is like, okay, good. We're getting to the younger people.
Yeah, that's
going to
start happening more and more. But remember, do I meet someone older?
When I was in middle school, I loved Pryor and Carlin and Eddie Murphy. You know what I mean? You mm-hmm. got to remember those kids. Those kids ride with you your whole life.
Right.
You know? Now, speaking of life, we're going to switch gears yeah. and we're going to not talk about life.
Yeah.
You have a friend who passed away, and I really would like you to share his story if you're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, man. So it's, and we talked about this, but like I've been such a big fan of you forever since I did the Crab Feast. I remember doing the feast
in the hotel
with you and Jay
room.
In the hotel, and I was all nervous, which it was such a big deal to me. You guys were so nice and so inviting, and I've been such a huge fan of the show. But it's hard to reach out and be like, hey, bro, can I come on? You know, can I come on? I just hate doing that stuff. So a buddy of mine who recently passed away, this was his favorite show. He listened to it and he would text me all the time and we would connect over this show. So yeah, when he passed, it was like that where I'm like, all
right. This show was his favorite show?
Yeah, favorite show.
Damn, all right.
Yeah.
Was he a comedian?
No.
No?
No. Okay. He was, we knew each other through skating. We met when I was probably 14, like right when I started skateboarding. And I just knew him my whole life. And yeah, his name was Pete. And he was the best. And we lost him last year. And so anyway, after that, I didn't try to put the onus on you like, hey, buddy, my friend died. You better let me come on the show.
No, I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that was kind of the catalyst. And yeah, man, he was, it's a wild thing because I have up there too, my dad passing away. But Pete was with me when I got the call that my dad passed away. So it was, you know, We were coming back from Minneapolis. He drove me up to do an open mic. That's how cool he was. He drove me from Sioux Falls
to
Minneapolis.
He wasn't even a comedian. He's just driving.
He just wanted to go. He's like, yeah, we'll go. We'll go skate. He's like, you drive. I'm gonna have some road sodas. All that, you know how it goes. And yeah, we're coming back. And I had a torn ACL at the time. So it was like the worst month of my whole life. I tore my ACL. This girl that I was into was not feeling me at all. And then my dad passed away. So we're in his car and I get the call and, you know, I didn't say much. It was my mom on the other line. They weren't together, but you know, she was like, hey, your dad died. And I hung up the phone and Pete, he's just sitting in shotgun smoking a cigarette. He's like, old man. And I go, yeah. And then we were just quiet for like 3 hours. It was exactly what I needed. I just needed to roll and process it. And yeah, he was one of my best friends in the whole world, man.
And so what happened?
He, you know.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
There's some details to it, but we just lost him. And
how old was he?
40. He might have been cranking up around 50. I want to say like 48, 49.
Married, it was dad.
No, he had a kid. Yeah, a kid. And it was one of those funerals where one of those rough around the edges funerals. You ever been to one of those? Mm-hmm. Where like the dudes will swear when they're up there and you're like, brother.
I've been to those funerals. Everybody knows and you can weddings. Swear.
Oh. And no shade, but like I could barely talk. I was just like, that's one thing I cannot do is I cannot hold it together. If it starts happening, good or bad. Like if wedding, whatever, if I start crying, I'm crying. So I get up there and I'm just like, I'm in, and just nothing's coming out. And then I get bummed because I'm like, I'd like these people to hear what I got to say about the guy. And
somebody come help me. Somebody come get me away from this.
I was close to making a video too. And I was like, that's going to look so weak if I'm up there bawling and there's a video of me being like, yeah, I knew I'd be crying in front of y'all. So I just made this little video, like calling me a coward, pointing down, like, look at this loser.
Fucking pussy up here with this video, just holding it.
Yeah. Yeah. The amount, like some of these, there was one dude that like held court. He's just walking around telling stories. I'm like, how are you not crying? I don't have that gear. But yeah, then, had one of those gnarly Irish funerals, which I've never really been to a legit funeral at a bar.
Is that the one when they put him on the table?
No, it was just Pete. Everyone getting hammered. Okay, he's just there. We're just pouring shit on him. No, we just went and got everybody was at a bar and just got hammered during the day. But yeah, man, it was, I got a funny story about Pete. So his dad, who coincidentally died on my birthday. So there's these weird connections with me and this kid, but he used to tell me all the time that his dad would go pick him up from school.
So hold on. His dad dies on your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with you in the car when your dad dies.
Yeah.
So that's,
isn't that gnarly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine, shout out to Chris Sheeler, known him since sixth grade. And my dad died November 27th, 1989. His dad dies the same fucking day. The same day. We've known each other, but 5 years later. Same anniversary, 5 years later. I'm like, how do we both share a fucking dead dad date? Like, that's wild. We've known each other since we were like 10.
Yeah, it's bonkers that's when crazy. That happens. My wife had our daughter on her friend's birthday, and her friend had her daughter on my wife's birthday.
See,
yeah.
There's something meant to be.
You hear that stuff, and you're like, bro, there's got to be something.
There's something bigger than all this, yes.
But his dad would go pick him up from high school, and he'd have a cig hanging out and like pink Elton John glasses, and he'd crack the window in high school, and he'd start playing the dashboard like a keyboard, and he'd be like, where's my little tulip? That's how he would go pick up Peterson from high school. Oh, that's the kind of stuff I can't wait to do to my daughter. Just like embarrassing.
I do it all the time. I do it in traffic. Like I'll start singing loud and I'll roll her window down. And she, one time I went, I started singing. I hit her window and she fucking ducked so fast that it made me laugh so hard and feel so good. I was like, my kid's ready now. My kid knows what's happening. And it's nonstop. When her friend came over, I was doing all this stuff and her friend looked at her and goes, are you not embarrassed by this? She goes, this is normal. This is normal.
my mom, I don't remember this, but so my mom had my sister when I was 14. So it was a big, big age gap, right? And we went to go get a pregnancy test. I do not remember doing this, but it's hilarious. So we're at the checkout and I put my arm around my mom. And I was like, baby, don't worry. Whatever the test results are, I got you. Like I was.
Oh, you're saying that out loud.
That's disgusting. But yeah, she tells me that. I was like, man, I had it when I was 14. It was hilarious.
Okay, so where are you when you find out he passes away?
Man, that's a good question. I was driving. It's never happened to me like this before.
You gotta stop driving, bro.
Start taking the bus.
Stop taking the bus.
Start moonwalking everywhere.
It's not a good place to be. I don't ever want to take a ride with your ass.
We had this. It's my buddy Ian Carmel. He just filmed a special. So I found this out 2 days before I filmed my special in October. And then the day Ian filmed his, my aunt died. And then my buddy David Borey just filmed one that I was at in Denver. And that day I found out my mom might need to get an amputation. And everyone's like, so just don't do specials anymore.
Yeah, that too.
But with, I was driving. I've never had this happen where you read something and I didn't. I was like, I know what that says. And I gave it to my wife. I go, what does this say? What's that text message?
Who texted?
Our buddy Mike. He kind of was tasked with telling everyone, which what a.
And he texted.
Yeah, he texted. And it was in the group thread too, which we always said the only way out of the group thread is a body bag. So that we're like.
There it is.
But I handed it to my wife and she's like, I think your buddy died. And then we got gas. I was sitting there and I was in shock. Never happened like that before. Like when my dad passed or any relatives and friends, I've never been close enough. But I don't know. This just hit me, in a wild way. And so I was getting gas and I go, I feel okay. I'm fine right now, I think. And then, so we went to her brother's house real quick. I forget what we had to do, but we had to stop there. We got home and I was just trying to like keep it in because I knew I had to film this special in a couple days, not to make it about me, but I'm like, he wouldn't want me messing this up or whatever. So I just kind of tucked it down, I think. And it didn't hit me because the next day was my birthday. So it didn't hit me until right after I got done. And then I went out with Ian and our buddy Harper and just like, water. And they had no idea it was coming. We're at the studio. I was like, let's go grab a drink, you guys. And
they didn't even have a heads up.
And we sit down and I was just like, I just let it out. And they were so cool. But then I'm apologizing for wrecking their night. Yeah.
You gotta be cool. Now, could you imagine if they were like, you fucking, what are you doing?
Bro, we came here to party. We don't live in Portland.
Do some shots, you pussy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was intense. And then, you always wonder too, everyone at the bar, they're like, what do they think's going on? Because everyone else at the bar and these two dudes are just kind of like.
Oh, those dudes seen and ladies have seen everything.
Yeah.
Crying, laughing, fighting. They seen it all.
I remember. My grandma died. This is off topic a little bit, but we were, I used to work at a comedy club in Sioux Falls. And for some reason, they were like, let's go to Omaha for our comedy Christmas party. We're going to go to the Funny Bone in Omaha. Mm-hmm. Take a party bus down there. Noon, bro. Seriously, I was driving again. It's noon though. You ever worked in a bar or a kitchen or anything? Mm-hmm. You know how buck they get. So noon, everyone's passing around Jaeger bottles, like doing coke at the time, all this stuff. So we get to the comedy club. Long story short, we watch the show. It was Louis Black. I was very excited to go watch it. I sit down. There's like 12 of us. Show gets done. Everybody's kicked out. I'm the only one sitting there. And I look back like, whoa. I go out. The manager of the Sioux Falls Club is arguing with the manager of the Omaha Club, who still manages it, Colleen. She rules.
But, yeah, yeah.
We were in the wrong. Our club was in the wrong. And so we end up going to some bar and whatever. We got kicked out of there too. So then we get back on the bus. My mom calls and she's like, hey, your grandma just died. So I was crying a little bit. But then I look around the bus and I'll never forget. There was this dude, Toad, who was a cook. And he was bawling. And I was like, what's wrong, bro? And he's like, my wife hit me. he was doing coke in the bathroom earlier. I was like, man, I got a real problem. You do not have a real problem.
This is
you're fucking Toad. Anyway, that was
perspective, bro.
That was where I was like, golly, this is, you guys, I would be thrilled if I had a wife that hit me just now instead of my grandma dying.
So I want to ask you, Pete, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a shock to you that like, I understand the process of, hey, right. I'm in shock and everything, but what I'm asking you is, were you surprised that this happened? You didn't see this coming? This wasn't?
No.
No.
No, it was nuts. And it's still, you go to the skate park and there's a mural painted of him and it still gets, I mean, I've been there a few times, been back home and I just keep thinking I'm going to see him, because I don't live in South Dakota anymore. So every time I go back, I think it's going to be just like it was. I'll walk into the skate park. He'll be chilling and whatever, make fun of me a little bit, but then ask about my daughter. He started doing that. Like he got so much softer the older we got, so much more. He was always very inviting, but he was very abrasive, very abrasive. Like I would, when people were going to meet him, I'd be like, all right, you're going to think something, you're going to feel a certain kind of way about this dude. But I'm telling you, he would do anything for me. He used to pay my phone bill when I couldn't do it. It was my fault. I would just like drink up my money, but he'd be like, all right, mow my lawn. I'll get your phone bill. He'd buy me skateboards, He'd drive us all around. But if you met him, you'd be like, oh, that guy's a prick. Like, no, he's great. But so, yeah, I mean, it was just, yeah, didn't see it coming. Nothing like that. It was nuts.
Now, how do you deal with it now? It's been what, 2 years? 1 year?
It was November.
Oh,
so,
whoa.
Or October, late October.
Six months.
Yeah. A lot of it's out of sight, out of mind, because I'm not there every day. It's for the first person that's passed away where I still have all the texts from us, you know? So sometimes I'll read those, which I don't know if is an amazing idea, but I got a voicemail from my uncle that died like 6 years ago, sitting on my phone that I've never listened to.
Ever?
Isn't that wild? It's just, it's.
You want to listen to it right now?
No, goddamn.
Let's listen to it.
You know, all right. I've always said.
You have a voice. This is a voicemail.
Yeah, look.
I'm going to have questions for you too, because before you play it.
Hold on. Let me. Yeah, right there from Sharon. It was.
How long is it?
October 15th, 2019 at 16 seconds.
We're going to listen to it.
I'm like shaking, man. Okay, we can.
I heard a video recently. Someone found one, a VHS, and sent me this quick clip of my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother died in 94, I believe. So we're talking, what, 30? Jesus. And when I heard her voice, it was different than I remembered in my head. And I'm curious. This is 6 years?
Yeah.
5 years?
Five and a half. I've been dancing around this forever because I didn't answer the phone. And then I still talk to him, but it was a real sudden thing with him. And so when I talked to him, he was like, he just wasn't as coherent as he would have been had I answered this call. I talked to him like a week later or something. And then it was like a very quick thing. I don't know 100% what even happened. What if he just gets on here and says a bunch of racist shit?
We'll edit it out. What if he tells you he's about to die here?
Well, then I'll start bawling all over the table, bud.
We will clip that.
No, you leave it in, man. That's
Hold
why.
Hold it up. Let's hear it. I want to know. What's up, everybody? Ryan Sickler here. And I just wanted to let you know that tickets to my fall dates of the Live and Alive tour are on sale now. Go to ryansickler.com. Get your tickets to all shows. I'm coming to Austin, Dallas, La Jolla, Salt Lake City, Denver, Chicago, Detroit, Minneapolis, Madison, Portland, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, and Tempe. Tickets for all shows are available right now on my website at ryansickler.com.
Hey, bud, it's me. So your grandma's number is give her a call. She'd love to hear from you. I love you. Bye.
That's crazy. She's also dead. That's nuts, man. I've been dancing around that for 5.5 years. I've been dancing around that. I almost listened to it after I recorded my special. I did James Corden last year, and I was looking at it like, come on, he'd be proud of you, man. I did Comedy Central set. Good on you. This is a good show, man.
Do you know why he was calling?
So he sounded pretty bad.
Do you know why he was saying to call your grandmom? Does it make sense that, or is it just him saying, hey, checking in? Like,
I think my grandma was getting sick, but she was old. She was 90. Go ahead.
Who passed first?
Grandma
or Uncle Bill?
Hold on. Uncle Bill. Grandma had to watch both her kids. She had three. Geez. No, she didn't. Okay, check this out.
She outlived all three.
She had four, and three of them passed away before she did. So my Aunt Shannon, I was driving in a car. No. my Aunt Shannon.
I'll drive.
Yeah, I was just out there cruising, you know, hanging my Swisher out the window. And then so when my dad was a kid, he was probably 10 or something. My Aunt Shannon would have been my Aunt Shannon. It was like Christmas Eve, and she was sledding behind a car. I don't know, Midwest, but like people just tie shit behind the car sometimes and they'll go sledding, you know what I mean, on the icy streets or whatever, like tubing, but on a car. And she just died. And they didn't know why. Now I think if they had the technology, they'd be like a brain aneurysm or something.
I was going to say clot or yeah, for
but
sure.
But they never knew why. And so that whole side of the family didn't like Christmas for ever, you know. Fast forward to what? I'm 25 when my dad passes. Another kid, and then Uncle Bill. So grandma had to watch three kids. Pat, that is, I never really think about it until you say it out loud, but you're like, that's insane. And then.
That's every parent's worst nightmare.
Three times, brother. I can't even. And
one
then COVID
is
got her.
To when, kill you.
Well, of course. I can't. I know we're talking outside. I don't even go down the road of talking about, because sometimes people ask and I'm like, I ain't going to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I, you know, but yeah, then COVID got grandma, but she was like 95. She was up there. But she smoked it to the filter.
So Uncle Bill is calling you to tell you, check on your grandmom. She's not doing well, basically, is what he's saying in the message. Right. And she would love to hear from you. I love you. And then he goes.
Yeah.
Did he know he was going to go? Or was his son, as well?
I don't.
You know what I mean? Was he sick and like, I'm not.
I don't know exactly what happened to him. It's one of those, like the last four or five times she's called me, it's been a bummer. So every time she called, it was in the middle of that. So like I forget whatever they were, but she's calling and I'm like, it ain't going to be good, you know? And then she said, something happened. I don't know what happened. He like fell and then they're like, he's going to die in 3 weeks. And I'm sure she knows, but regardless of what it was, that's what happened. And then you're like, man. And then you get to this point where it's like, it was COVID. And I'm like, I can't go to the funeral. We're trying to go through IVF and I can't roll the dice like that. Same thing with my grandma's funeral. Cause I don't want to be the scumbag who brings it back for our investment. You know what I mean? So yeah, I missed all the funerals too. Feel bad about that forever. I mean, it was COVID. So it was like, it wasn't my fault, but yeah, never thought about that. Three kids. It's insane. That voicemail. I'm good. Good on you, man. That makes me feel great. Is it weird that it makes me feel good that I did it?
No.
That it like...
I'm surprised you've held on to it that long.
Yeah.
What are the reasons, like, especially after shooting a special? That's such a momentous occasion, I think, for any comedian. How'd you talk yourself out of not doing it then? I feel like you'd be riding on such a high.
I didn't want to do it after I had any drinks. And so all these... After Corden, after Comedy Central, I went out and had a couple and I'm staring at it like, listen to it. And you're like, do him the respect of not, you know, needing to get drunk before you do it. You
Did
know what
he
I mean?
Sound like you remember him sounding?
Weak. He was always real boisterous. He was like loud, confident, big. All the men, Buck Jordan, Pat Jordan, Bill Jordan, they were all like gnarly, loud, tall, like men. You know, my grandpa was like Cotton Hill, like the Navy guy, but he was tall. He didn't get his shins cut off. But yeah, Bill back in the day, he'd call and he'd be like, bud, this is your great Uncle Bill. That was his whole bit.
So he was your great uncle?
No, he would just say that. Oh, like he was great.
He was the great.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No, he sounded kind of feeble there, man.
He did.
Yeah, he sounded like he was catching up to him.
How old was he when he died?
60.
That's young, too.
It is young, man. I'm creeping up on the age my dad was, and that's a wild thing.
How old was that?
I want to say he was 46, and it was alcoholism. And so for a while there...
Your dad died at 46 of alcoholism?
He used to drink...
That's very young.
I'm talking handles a day. Like, he'd drink...
You said handles.
Those, well, you know those jug-looking things? The 175s? Yeah, bro. Yeah. He would go through one of those in a day, not every day. But he could and he would, you know, and he would do, he was into meth for a while. Like he was just like a party animal, you know? So
you knew he was into meth?
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm doing bits, but I walked into it. He lived in a hotel for a while. He was for quite some time. And I walked in and there was, I knew the mixins cause I grew up in the Midwest and a lot of people do that. You know, I've done it myself. It's terrible.
What do you mean?
Meth. So I just like knew what the...
Oh, you mean you're looking around the room and seeing the things and putting
tin foil and a pen.
Got it.
Right by the window. So it was either that or heroin. And I'm like...
He's blowing it out the window.
Right. And so, yeah, I was like, bro, you're living in a hotel doing meth. It's one of those things that I think about now, the older I get, because I don't want to die. You know what I mean? When I'm 46, I know that's obviously goes without saying, but he didn't either. And, you know, and he did. And my Uncle Bill wasn't a saint. I mean, he drank quite a bit. And so that's the thing in my life that I've always been most worried about. So I got a handle on it over COVID, which COVID.
You said handle.
I got a handle right
yeah,
under
your dad had a handle too, brother.
Yeah, he got a real solid grip on it. I remember when COVID hit, I didn't drink for like 6 months. My wife's like, that's great. And I'm like, I ain't done. I'm just saying it's on accident. I haven't drank for 6 weeks or months, but I've definitely got a hold of it.
Well, you need to, man, because that's in your blood, literally. And
yeah.
It also These men are not living long drinking like that. There's some people that just go, you know what I mean? They smoke, they drink, and it just doesn't get them. Whatever the hell reason,
yeah,
it just doesn't get them.
Well,
this is young.
And I had right before COVID maybe or something, I went in and just told my, because I now got a doctor, I got a PCP, all this stuff I never had growing up. Let me ask him, did you go to regular checkups when you were a kid?
No.
We sure didn't.
I'll tell you what we had to do. Once we started playing sports in high school, they made you had to go get a physical. And that was when I would go like once a year. We didn't go to the doctor unless it was for a vaccination.
Yeah, or my bones sticking out or something.
That's it. We never went.
They can't do the line of the testicle cough anymore, right? I remember in football when we were straight up in a line.
My doctor 100% would do that when we were kids.
But like in a line, I'm saying like, no, I remember
in a line. It was a one-on-one.
50 of us in the locker room and we're all pants down. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, that shit wouldn't, you can't put more than three people naked in the locker room these days. That shit ain't happening.
So I went into my PCP and I was like, hey, we just check my liver. Just check all the stuff that if I had damaged it from alcohol. And that was one of the scariest things because I come in and he looked at me, he's like, your liver looks like you're a young man. It's perfect. I just started crying out because I'm so like when you put something off forever and ever, and you're like, well, it doesn't hurt. That doesn't mean it's not like shrinking up or getting solid, you know? So when he gave me that, it was like a nice reset. And then all through COVID, it was easy to not. But now you start going on the road and stuff again. It is tough. Like I was just in Madison. It's like, it's hard to not treat all this like a party because it is a part when you get to go and people come to see you. And I don't know, there's just something there where I'm like, you want to party a little bit. So trying to navigate that, like trying to chill it out. It's working.
Is it?
A little bit. It is because I think about it. Also, I'm old, man. I don't like feeling like shit all the time. And I like skateboarding and all these things. Like I want to wake up and feel good and like be productive and get work done. But then like I'll go to Denver for a comedy festival or something. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, 3-4 days of that. I can feel it. And that's enough of a deterrent right there to try to chill out. You know what I mean?
But you're 42. You said your dad 42. Died at 45, 46?
I think 46. Yeah.
I mean, does it terrify you to leave your... Because it's not just dying. You're leaving
car,
your daughter
that whole year.
That. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be just fucking skateboarding everywhere that year, bro.
Yeah.
Because that happened to me at the same age, dude. The same age. My dad died at 42.
Right.
And I had split from my daughter's mom. I had had kidney stones. My legs started clotting. This was the beginning of me finding out I have this blood disease.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. And it's also the beginning of me finding out that he didn't really die of a heart attack. He died of this fucking thing that I am clotting and laying on the bed right now at 42.
Interesting.
And I figure that out through this. And I'm like, man, this isn't what he died from, what they say at all. And now I'm figuring out that it was this. And it's the same age. And I'm on my bed, on my back. And that's how we found him. Like, it was identical to, like, I'm about to check out. And it would have been a creepy parallel story.
Right.
And then I get to be older than him a year. And I'm like, that feels weird.
That will be weird to me when...
Dude, I'm two things. I say this all the time. I want to be something. My father was the greatest. I want to be something my dad never was, and that's an old man.
Yeah.
All right. A grandfather. All right. And I'm already older than my dad. And I don't know if this will make sense. I say this a lot, but I don't care if I live to be 103. I'll just never feel older than my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I am older than him, but I don't feel. I don't know. I feel like I'll always be his son, you know?
Yeah. I've been on that. I want to break the cycle. So like my Uncle Bill was great. He was a good dad, but he's still just like with drinking and stuff. You know, there was like, everyone's got their demons, but my grandpa and my dad were like, they kind of bailed. My grandpa cheated on my grandma. My dad caught him. Check this out. My dad was probably 18. He caught my grandpa cheating. My grandpa's name was Buck Jordan. It's a Buck name, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my dad goes, you're telling grandma, or I'm telling grandma. And Buck, he's like, no one's telling grandma. And so they fought, had an actual fist fight. My dad won. And then Buck told grandma.
So your son beat your ass. And then you gotta go tell your wife you're cheating.
That was one thing too. My dad... And this is a wild concept to explore, but he left when I was like 6 months old, a year or something. And he wasn't around until I was probably 12 or 13. And he was like a big fighter. He was just a dick, you know? So I would have been too, I think. If he would have been around, I would have turned out just like that. I've been fighting all the time. So him not being around was probably good, you know? It's crazy to think about where like it's be like, damn, that's a harsh thing to say about somebody that you're probably better off that they weren't around. But I think I was. I mean, he would get so, like, there was one time he told me I could borrow his car to go to North Dakota to go to a skate park. And I took it and I get back and he had called the cops. He thought someone stole his whip.
You didn't remember?
I'm like, Dad, you told me I could, like a day ago, you told me I could take it. And he's like, oh, yeah, well. Like he had his apartment. He used to put all this shit on his landlord. And I'm like, this ain't your landlord's job to find your car. I'd always go up and the landlord would be in his crib. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, something's going on with your dad. And I'm like, this is not your problem, my friend. He's your tenant who you should probably boot. If imagine if your tenant was like, hey, someone stole my car. Can you handle it for me? Because I'm drunk and I don't, you know, I can't move. But anyway, he would just... It's another dangerous thing, too.
Can I ask you a quick question? Yeah. Do you and your sister share the same parents?
No.
Okay. I wondered about that. If dad's gone that early and you're that far apart.
I also got a couple brothers that I didn't know about till I was 19, probably.
How'd that come about?
My dad got drunk one time and told me. So my mom had a couple kids in high school.
I'm sorry.
No, isn't this wild? That he thought that it was his place to tell me is batshit because... My mom got caught slipping a couple times in high school. Go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to set this up here. You're how old at the time?
I was probably 18.
And your sister's how old?
Sister would be four.
Four, okay, because you're 14 apart. All right.
And
But that dad is not your biological father, your sister.
Right.
Right.
He's okay. My stepdad. He's the one that's been around and put the work in. But so I guess before me, because they were young. They were like 20 when they had me. But before me... in high school, my mom had a couple kids, and it was like that. You're not going to have these kids, so she gave them up for adoption right away, and which is fine. No shade. I mean, that's not. I could care less. It was so hard for her to tell me. So my dad, for years, he'd get drunk and he'd be like, "I got to tell you something about your mom, bud. When you're old enough to hear it, you're old enough to hear it." And I'm like, I don't know what he was going to tell me. And then one night,
how old was that?
I was probably 13 or 14 when he started dangling the carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, anyway, so I forget why. One night, he just tells me. He's on the couch. He just started crying and telling me this. And I was like, what?
What's he saying?
Exactly what I just said. He's like, bud, you got a couple brothers, bud. And he's holding a cigarette. He could barely, you know, like the ash is like that. And my buddy Adam tells me, but he's just like that. Just couldn't even ash his cigarette. And I was like, what? And so I flipped out.
A couple, by the way. Couple. Not one.
Couple.
Not another brother.
Two. And so I went and I just dealt with it over a couple years.
But wait, hold on. With who? Who's the lady? Who the kid? Who are they? What?
Well,
who are
so
they?
My mom, just some boyfriends from high school, you know?
Wait. They're my not mom's, your dad's kids.
No, they're different guys.
Get
kids.
The fuck
so
out.
So he had no business telling me.
Didn't see this coming at all.
Different.
Yeah, I bet
different
you guys. Didn't either.
No. If I found that out now, I guess I'd process it sort of like an adult. But when I was 19, I think I was 19, whatever. I did not know what to do. And all these things go through my mind. And I'm like.
So they're older than you.
Yeah. I met one of them. No.
So your mom had children.
Mm-hmm.
And then why aren't they with her?
Because my grandpa wasn't having it because she was so young. So that's what I'm saying. They like made her. They did that. I thought they only
made
did this
her
in movies.
Gave these babies up to who?
I don't adoption. I mean, they kicked her out. So my grandpa.
Whoa.
My grandpa told her she had to leave town when one of them and like do the pregnancy at a different place.
Just
and then
to
come
what?
Back.
Not to bring shame to the family.
Straight up.
How old was she when it happened? High school?
Yeah. Yeah. Both of them. I mean, she's 20 when she had me, so both before that.
Same guy?
No. <It's> like, I don't want to throw her. I'm not trying to dog out my mom. I'm saying she's
you weren't doing a dogging.
she didn't. She made three bad choices before she landed my stepdad, I guess. But yeah, man. And who knows how bad these dudes were. I'm sure my grandpa was being like, you're not going to, you know. So whatever. But
so you meet one.
I met one, yeah.
How do you find him?
She got in touch with him. And he lived in South Dakota still. We went to go see him.
Okay, so your mom went with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole family.
Is this the first time your mom's seeing this child in...
I think so.
And you're there for this?
I think, yeah.
Dude, what was that like?
Pretty buck, man.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it was...
Was she crying? Was it a good emotional?
She's not... She really doesn't like to cry. Not like I like to cry, but she really tries to be tough, you know? So I don't think she was crying. A lot of like quick talking, you know? That stuff. Like people at funerals and wakes and stuff when they're just jibber-jabbering. You're like, you can take a second to cry if you want to. But...
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Yeah, so what happened? My dad told me, and then he passed away like 4 years after he told me. So I had plenty of time to process.
What did your
this.
Mom do when he told her?
I didn't tell her. So,
what?
So he told me. I kept it down. I kept
for how long?
For about 4 years till he died. And then
years.
Mm-hmm. So he told me when I was probably 19. He died when I was 25. I want to say. So. And by then, I was like, whatever, I don't care. And then my mom called me about 2 weeks after he died. She goes, I got to tell you something. And I go, yeah, I got a couple brothers, right? And she goes, how the fuck do you know that? I was like, dad told me
Why does she all of a sudden decide to tell you after your dad dies?
Who knows? Closure? I don't know. I really don't. She just called
me
out of the blue.
She shit herself. And you knew that's what it was going to be when she said
immediately.
You did.
Because
could you imagine if it was like, I have a couple other brothers. She's like, yeah, I wasn't going to tell you at all. Like, yeah, how the fuck do you know that? I was just going to tell you that dad left you the car.
yeah, there's 20 G's sitting around you didn't know about. No, yeah, when she told me, it wasn't that big conversation she thought it was going to be because I already knew. And I didn't care. I never care. I never thought less of her. It was just jarring to hear. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and it was all good. Met one of them.
Where's the other one?
He, Colorado, maybe? They used to talk every day for a couple of years after, because like they got in touch too. But for whatever reason, I don't know if they ever met or whatever. But there's no like beef or anything, I don't think.
And your mom's wild. How old now?
59, or she was born in 59. So what would that be? 65? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, young.
And
she's older. She's probably 22 when she had me.
Except
for the leg. She's just gotten hosed with health stuff. But she's like, you know, she shines on, man. She's had to have her spine fused. Her whole spine is fused. You know that shit where they're like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's gotten, it's a rough shake for her. And it's tough. But she's still smiles, you know.
So how old's her oldest son, so it's boys. Yeah, two boys.
Gotta say, he's probably 46. 50? He's probably 46 by now, 47.
Are you number?
I'm three.
Three, for mm-hmm. sure.
As far as I know. I don't know, Dad, unless there's another voicemail from Bill on here.
Hey, listen, you should call your mom real quick, man. She's got something to say.
There's a whole crew of kids in Florida. Yeah, I think I think that's it.
That would blow my mind.
It was Buck.
But I'd be 40 some years old. I've talked to so many people on the Patreon. Subscribe. It's only $5 a month. Honey, do with y'all.
Original rims.
And with this, what is it, 23andMe and these things like that, they're finding. I was one girl that came on, and I know from experience because I had thought about donating sperm. And my grandmother's, you know, Catholic at the time was like, there you're, you know, going off on me. But then what I end up finding out is you're only allowed to donate twice. In a certain mile radius, you can't just go in there and dump, you know, for all day long.
They make it seem like you can in movies.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't easy to go do.
Two times, because although it's not probable, it is possible those two could live in the same area their whole lives, grow up, meet each other, incest, the whole thing. So this one lady said that So again, you're only supposed to be able to do it twice, but a lot of these clinics were letting people do it a lot. And I guess there was this one guy And I think she said he did it weekly for years.
That is.
And when she came on the episode, she had already met, I don't know, 3 or 4 new siblings she had no idea she had. And they were continuing to pop up because this dude was just dropping off, there. You know, and they were letting them. And you're not supposed to let them. Man. Yeah, you're not supposed to. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. I don't. I was pretty safe my whole life. So I'd, you know, if that would be so gnarly to hear about. Like if someone's like, yeah, you got a kid
got you a didn't know about. For you.
Yeah.
Willing to donate your sperm, this viable sperm that you have. Are you willing to donate that?
We've or is talked that about just get, that.
Just, what are they? Just
I don't know.
Squish bro, it. What do they do?
It's something gnarly. Like it has to be. I'm sure there's some bio.
Kill these eggs.
It's crazy to think about.
And yes. They're gone.
But then, because I just brought it up to my wife the other day, and I'm like, I don't know that I could have, because it's us. It's like, who if like a surrogate were to care, if somebody were to get
it's
it.
It's still you.
It's me and my wife. It's mm-hmm. not like half someone. So I would know that there's like our kid mm-hmm. just baked in a different oven walking around. It'd be tough to know that, you know, and not want to be involved.
Part of that, yes.
And be like, how are they raising this kid that I, you know, that I would have had my, you know, hand in raising, but. As it stands, we're geriatric, and so we can't. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't know what we'll do.
As a dad who's very into being a dad, I mean, you got a special called Girl Dad available now. Like,
I love it.
Do you understand the power of addiction? I mean, for a man to be live in a hotel away from his kids, like. I'm not saying your dad really wanted to do that, but with the circumstances, he probably obviously had to and wanted to because the addiction overtakes. Could you even imagine?
No. And so he tried to commit suicide one time. He was in treatment and he drank he drank a bottle of floor stripper. So like
what?
A whole bottle. This is why
and lived?
I have a gnarly constitution, my friend. Because, yeah, he made it. Doctor called me and he's like, if I were you, I'd drive here now. Because he was like 6 hours away.
There's a drive. And
Never thought of it. I'm going to be scared every time I'm in a whip.
The wheel tie.
Yeah, he goes, drive out here right now. So I drove through the night. And then dad made a full recovery. The doctor's like, he burned his whole esophagus, whole stomach.
I would imagine.
He's going to die in like, you know, weeks. And then he was fine, back to it. I mean, back to like the handles and actually drinking and shit.
No.
Oh, yeah. He rocked it till the wheels fall off. He was like that until the very end. And that didn't, because I used to be so upset about that. I'm like, it's so selfish. Why would you be that selfish? And the older I get, I'm like, all he cared about was me. I was the only thing he really loved, you know? And he just couldn't balance it. He just couldn't, you know? And mm-hmm. I know, because he always used to tell me, he's like, you have a disease, bud. You have a disease and da-da-da. And I'm like, cancer is a disease. Like, no one's taking cancer and putting it into their body. Like, you're putting this shit in your own body. So I would always think, it was like, it's your fault. You have control over this. And the older you get, I do maintain that you do have control over it. It's definitely not black and white. It's not nearly as easy. And I've proven that to myself, where I'm like, whoa, you need to chill out. On how you're living, you know? And he was worse than me. So, yeah, I like to think I understand addiction as well as someone can, you know? And that having a daughter is like the biggest deterrent because I want to be around. It boils down. I just want to be here, you know? I want to see all that shit. She's all that matters now. Not in the way where it's like, I still like new shoes, you know what I mean? But she's what I'm living for. Like any money I got, it just goes in the bank. Well, I don't look at it. It's hers, you know? So... Yeah, I want to be around, man.
And your mom like being a grandma?
Yeah, she doesn't get to see her a lot because she's in South Dakota and she can't like travel well. But yeah, she loves it, man. Thank God for Zoom and all that because it's not a relationship, but she can at least see her, you know? So when she does visit, it's not, can you remember that feeling when you're a kid and you're like, what do you mean this is my Uncle Tommy? I've never seen this fucking dude.
Yeah, he's a stranger.
And you're like, I gotta say I love you to this guy. I remember that shit where I'm like, I don't know. He's in the Navy, bro. I don't know this guy. So that is nice. And
do your mom's other children, do they have kids? Is she a grandmom?
I know that one of them does. Yeah. My sister doesn't have any kids, but I know that one of my mom's other kids that has kids, I don't know that she looks at that like I'm their grandmother because they haven't really been around forever, you know? So Maxine with my daughter. Well, Shaxine, definitely. Grandma shit. And it rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And what about your sister?
No kids. Still chilling, living in Sioux Falls. Much younger, though. I don't really, again, because I don't live there. And the age gap was so big. Mm-hmm. Like, she's my sister. I love her. But we're just like not, don't really talk all that much, you know? Like when I see her, I see her. And like when I'm home, we go to dinner and stuff. But I'm not like hitting her up on the regular. I could. And I need to be better about it. My wife always mentions that. I'm like, yeah. It's just not something I think about on the daily, you know?
So this has been a great episode. I've learned quite a bit myself today that I didn't know.
That IVF shit's crazy, right?
It is.
Yeah. It'll get you, man.
And I've known plenty of people who've done IVF. I didn't know the parts about the sex and that you have to pick one or the other at some point, you know, things like that.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah.
And how you can't do any, like when you're the guy, I know it's a bit about it, but like all you got to do is donate a sample. You jack off in a cup. The woman has to do everything. And then
once it's in their body and it's working,
they got to keep doing everything.
And you know.
We had to navigate COVID. That whole, we didn't leave. I mean, we were careful anyways, but we didn't do anything. Like if I had to come down here for a couple things, I think I might have even stayed at a hotel a couple days till I could get a rapid test, you know, just to be like, anyway, yeah, it's Buck, man.
So after everything we've talked about now, advice you would give to 16-year-old Sean Jordan?
Well, the first one I would say, go to the dentist. My God, dude. I spent probably $9,000 a few years ago on dental just because I didn't go for like 15 years.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. I popped a cavity out before I even moved to Portland. This is how I can timestamp it because I remember being in Sioux Falls. I was flossing. I popped this filling out and I didn't go to the dentist until I lived in LA. So that's 2009 to 2018 or whatever.
You left that open tooth like that in there forever?
I had a hole. It would fill up with food. I didn't even use this side of my mouth. So it built up with sediment. They showed me there was like dunes. There was like salt dunes on my teeth.
Salt dunes.
Because I didn't chew with it to keep them sharp. So yeah, they had to go in and she's like, we're going to have to chisel all the shit out, root canal. So anyway, I would go to the dentist. That would go to the dentist.
Seriously, go to the dentist. Every 6 months.
It ain't gonna fix itself, you know? And I go every 4 months now. They put me on a program and I was like,
oh, you got to go for the heavy cleans.
Yeah, the deep cleans. They had to cut these gums open not that long ago.
Oh, fuck that.
Brother. The other one, it would be like, you know that it's going to be okay. I've struggled with anxiety my whole life and thinking, just especially with comedy, like none of this is certain. Feels like a house of cards. So all the time, I'm just like, what happens if no one comes to the shows or whatever? And it's like, you'll be all right. Just do what you feel like you should be doing and it will work. That's what I would say. Like, just believe in yourself and don't worry too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's like so much of my life. I look back to things that I really stressed over and it doesn't matter at all now. And not to say that problems aren't problems and wherever you're at in your life and this matters, but just don't think it's like the end of everything every time, you know? It'll be all good. I wish I could show my 16-year-old self me now and be like, oh, dude, no way.
Yeah.
You got a car?
You got a car. Don't drive.
You got a car parked in the driveway and every time you get in it, somebody dies?
Thank you for doing this, dude.
Yeah, man.
Please plug everything again.
Well, Girl Dad is the album. If you want to go on Patreon, you can buy it as $10. But if you want to listen to it, it's on Spotify. So go do that. And then I'm lucky enough to be a part of the All Fantasy Everything podcast with started by Ian Carmel and David Bory is on it as well. We've got a big tour in June. We're going to be in New York, Boston, Philly, DC, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Minneapolis, Cleveland, Detroit. So
with the pod?
Yeah. We're doing live shows June 11th through June 22nd. And they're so fun. The live shows are the best. We're going to have Shane Torres on for most of the shows. He's coming on the road with us, who Crab Feast and Honeydew alum. And it's just going to be a blast. So if you feel so inclined, come out to that. You can find the dates on my Instagram, Sean Cougar Mellon Jordan. And also, I would like your listeners to hear how dope you are. You don't get your flowers a lot, but thank you so much for having me. You've always been such a shining light in this, like, not everyone's cool in this business and not everybody is like willing to help people out. And I remember you took Zach Toscani and I to lunch when I first moved here. And it was one of the things where I was like, Okay, so it doesn't have to be that terrifying. Because you're like, yeah, send me some clips. I'll get them to whoever and see if we can get you on some shows. But people don't do that a lot. So thank you. Everyone listening to the show, you know what time it is.
Thank you, young man.
Yeah, you're welcome. Young man, baby. Yeah, of course, man.
Bro. You're younger than me. as always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Come see me on tour. Tickets are available on my website. I'll see you out there, and we'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.